All right, good evening, everyone. Welcome to class number 18 in the Rebbe series, for those of you who are following along. We are in the what's known as the second generation of Hasidim, or Hasidus, and this is the early part of the 19th century, which is known really as the golden age for Hasidus, because there is this explosive growth. We're starting with the Russia-Ukraine area of Hasidus, in the what we call the Pale of Settlement. And we're going to Rabbi Mordechai Twersky, the Maggid of Chernobyl. He was in Ukraine. He lived from 1770 to 1837. He lived, obviously, in Chernobyl for a good portion of his time. And if you remember from a while back, I don't remember which number class it is, we did his father, Rav Menachem Nachum Twersky of Chernobyl, who was one of the great students of the Maggid of Mezrich, a follower of the Baal Shem Tov, someone who was very significant in the early days of Hasidus. But Rav Mordechai Twersky is really a seminal moment for Hasidus because, for the first time, you have a Hasidic dynasty. You have the two of them, you have a second generation, not that because the first generation or even the second generation, the late 18th century of Hasidus, there was not much of a notion of a dynasty. But all of a sudden, when you get now to the beginning of the 19th century, there are dynasties. All of a sudden, there are particularities to what makes one Hasidim different from others. And things are really kind of coagulating into what we know as Hasidus more contemporaneously. That being said, with the formation of dynasties, you also get arguments, which when we do the second generation of Lubavitch, you'll see there is we'll discuss a massive machlokas over who was going to be leading the second generation of Lubavitch. This was actually before they moved to Lubavitch. They were just Chabad at the time. They only moved to Lubavitch in the second generation. But for now, we're focusing on Rabbi Mordechai Twersky. He was one of the great developers of the golden age of Hasidus. Without him, who knows how much it would have spread. But he was known for his eloquence. He was known for his passion. He was known for his commitment. He was known for all sorts of significant actions that helped expand Hasidus in his area. And again, we're dealing in a more in a calmer period of time. Poland has been divvied up into four different pieces, or what was once Poland. Napoleon has fallen, and so life has kind of settled down in Europe and given the opportunity for Jews to really embrace this new type of experience of Hasidus. He founded one of the more enduring dynasties, the Chernobyl dynasty. Everyone who you hear today with the last name Twersky is a descendant. So more recently, we have the Talner Rebbe, Rav Meir Twersky Shlita, who is one of the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva University. So his father, Alav HaShalom, was Dr. Yitzhak Twersky, who was the head of Judaic studies at Harvard, but also the Talner Rebbe, and he married Rav Soloveitchik's daughter. So you had two dynasties, one non-Hasidic, starkly non-Hasidic, the other Hasidic coming together in one of the more interesting marriages, but also Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky, the famous psychiatrist, is also a descendant of Rabbi Mordechai Twersky, and in Minnesota there is Rav Twersky. So all of these are descendant from this Twersky family. And hence he influenced the founding of many other dynasties. And so he was an extraordinarily seminal figure in the history of the development of Hasidus. He's known, the stories that you find in Hasidic lore, he's known for giving out an immense amount of tzedakah. Everyone who would go visit the Rebbe in his court would have to give a pidyon. They would have to give some sort of money in order to have time with the Rebbe. And that money was often distributed to the poor, and he was known for leveraging his influence to convince others to give great amounts of tzedakah to other to people in need. Another interesting aspect of Hasidic lore is that he was responsible for the hidden tzaddikim. We've probably all heard stories about the 36 tzaddikim upon which the entire world stands. So Rav Tversky was the Maggid of Chernobyl, was responsible for those, and they looked to him as their spiritual guide and leader. Again, that's part of Hasidic lore. And he also had an official position as Maggid. In those days, the Kahal was, to a certain extent, the governing organization of the Jewish people. And therefore, if you were the Rav of a certain town or the Maggid of a certain time, it was your job to go around inspiring people. So he, in his area, was probably the paid Maggid of his town, and therefore he was very influential from that perspective. Not a lot of his Torah has been written down, but there's a little bit, and it was put together in a small but very, very interesting book called Likutei Torah, which if you look up Likutei Torah on Hebrew books, you'll get 8,000 books with the name Likutei Torah, because that just means collections of Torah, so woohoo! So I had to look a little bit, but I found Likutei Torah by Rav Mordechai Tversky, and particularly the end of the book, I found a bunch of the articles very, very meaningful, and so I wanted to share a bunch of them with you today. We'll see how many of them we get through. So first we'll start with source number one. I titled it, of course there are no titles given to them, nor were they written on any particular perek or pasuk or anything. He just kind of starts talking and you figure out where it belongs and what it belongs to. I titled this one, Lifnei Hashem Ein Choshech Klal. Before God, there is no darkness. What does this mean? So he says, Hinei kol avodos ha-tovos she'anu asim. He says, all the good deeds and good actions that we do, miramez ha-kol al yichud kayadua. So everything that we do is a hint at somehow the oneness, the experience of oneness of God. Lo rak kodem shechata Adam harishon hayu kol hazivukim b'kdusha mamish, kemo Torah utfila. He says it's not only that before Adam harishon, before Adam sinned, not only all the dualities, the things that we view as two different things, what was happening, they were actually one. They were actually one singularity. All these holy things were one singularity. Kemo Torah utfila. Like Torah and Tefillah. Right now we view the study of Torah and the act of prayer as two different experiences. But before Chet Adam Harishon, one was able to see that these two holy and sacred experiences were actually one. Aval, but what happened? Lachar Shechata, after Adam sinned, Az nafal lekot nor bechinat not or bechinat levushin hamastirin. What happened? It fell into, if you remember, after Adam and Chava sin, Hashem makes for them kotnot or. Literally, kotnot are some sort of garment of or of leather or of some sort of skin. So what happens? Everything. Because what does clothing do? Clothing hides your true essence, right? Your true essence, who you are, is hidden behind your clothing. Okay, but you can make out a little bit of what really exists behind there if you know what basically someone looks like behind their clothing. Clothing doesn't hide everything. Ach af al pi kein yicholin kol echad lechavein l'shem Hashem. But what can happen? The same way you can basically imagine what something looks behind the clothing, so too, when someone has proper intent, proper kavanos, so all of a sudden you're able to take that which is viewed as separate and to bring them into oneness, into the recognition of oneness. However, after the sin, it's impossible. She'inu be'ashari she'ya zivug b'lum b'li shum yetzer hara. It's impossible that when you bring anything together, for there not to be some sort of yetzer hara, of evil inclination involved in it. So again, what's our goal? Our goal is yichud. Our goal is revealing and recognizing that everything is in fact one, which we fail to recognize, or we fail to see after the original sin of Adam HaRishon. And our job now is to bring those together, and that's impossible without there any yetzer hara. If you want to put things in, crass terms, but not necessarily, if you imagine two people who were, you know, a man was originally created, Zacharu Nikeva Bara Osam. He was recreated as male and female together. Then the two were separated, right? And what's the goal? The goal is to bring the two back together. But again, it's impossible to have that reunion without a little bit of crassness involved in that reunion. On the one hand, it's a wholly sanctified experience. On the other hand, that reunion is often associated with all types of crassness and licentiousness, and when you start speaking of the sexuality involved in it. So it's impossible to have that reunion without there being somewhat yetzer hara involved in it. However, hatzadikim shehem mufshatim min achomer, but when you have truly righteous, the tzadikim, who are separated from all the material, im kain, they are able to do it without the yetzer hara. They are able to create reunion, to create singularity, without any of the matter involved in. Im kain. So, what can we say from that? He says, but if a simple human being, a regular Jew, has intent for Shem Hashem, right, for the Yichud, for the singularity of God, mikol makom, nevertheless, yesh bezet harovis yetzer hara, mikol shekein dekol shekein noif gamor, rachman alatzan. He says, it's impossible that there's not going to be a yetzer hara, right, something licentious, something inappropriate involved in it, God forbid. Afilu beheter, even when you're doing something totally mutter, right, there is a crassness, a non-sacredness, if you will, that's involved in it. And he says, even when you're doing something appropriate, rakshahu kemaisa behena. You're doing an act, an animalistic act, the act of sexual relations. It's an animalistic act, even if it has a quality of yichud in it, but because, again, we're living in this world where it's impossible for yetzer hara to be involved in everything, not to be involved in everything, so therefore that's why it happens that way. Ach, im kol zeh, yet despite all of this, efshar l'shuva nefesh el Hashem, it's possible to return the soul to that singularity of God. V'lashuv kol hata'avos va'avos ha'ra'os el mekor ha'ava ha'torah, and to take all the desires and the loves, or the bad loves, the inappropriate love, and to channel it towards the source of all love and the source of all purity. Vizema amar hakasuv. That's what the pasuk means when it says, Vayar Elohim es haor, that God saw the light, kitov, that it was good. Vayavdel Elohim bein haor uvein achoshech, and God differentiated between light and darkness. What do you mean? He created light, and then he differentiated between light and darkness? What does that mean about the darkness? That it was originally part of the light. Kito, shevadai lifnei Hashem, ein choshech klal. Before God, there's no such thing as darkness. It's all light. Like the pasuk says, Ani Hashem, lo shinisi. I am God, I don't change. I'm the same. Ukimosha ya kodem brios ha'olam. Just like it was before the creation of the world, where darkness and light were one because there was really no such thing as darkness. Kein hu mamash acharkach. It's the same afterwards. Rak shebechinas Elohim shinu yishama.
Right,
What happens? When the world develops, all of a sudden, good and bad differentiate into two. But in front of the Holy One, blessed be He, good and bad is only one. V'nifrada tov min ha'ra v'zeh b'chinat v'yavdel Elohim bein ha'or u'bein ha'choshech. Sheze ino b'korach enoshi rak b'bnei Yisrael sheish lahem chilek Elohim imal shuna neshama v'dalecha. He says, but what is it? Because the Jewish soul is invested with chilek Elohim imal, a portion of God. So what is the Jew able to do? The Jew is able to take that crass, that licentious action, and he's able to elevate it in such a way that it returns it towards Yichud Hashem. So again, we're seeing here a lot of these similar assumptions of Chassidus that we've seen in the past. The elevation of the mundane, the notions of unity, the exceptionalism of the soul as being plugged into, if you will, the source of all light, which is God. And again, all of our actions, even those which are crass, which we view as having a Yetzer Hara, we have to realize that that Yetzer Hara is only, we're the only ones who are seeing it. But from the Ribono Shel Olam's perspective, there's no Yetzer Hara there, but it's all one. And so, Or Choshech, you are the one who created that duality. That's the duality that exists in the material world. Up from the view on high, that duality doesn't exist. And the tzaddikim, who are closer to that, who are even more plugged into the Ribono Shel Olam, they also are able to wipe away that Yetzer Hara aspect of it. But you should know that that only exists because of post-Chet Adam HaRishon, but we can return it in every one of our actions with the performance of Yichud. That's number one. Okay. Number two, Levishas Or. So here we're going to be playing on a word. What's the word, or two words? There's Or with an Aleph, which means light. And then there is Or with an Ayin, which means skin or leather. Okay, which means an animal skin. So says the Rav Mordechai Twersky as follows. Hatalis Shaloves Bishas Hatvila, Hu Bechinas Or. The symbolic action that you perform when you wrap yourself in a talis when you daven, that is like light. Makif Ote Or Salma. It is a light that it envelops you. Therefore, you're doing that, why? To show that you are enveloped. Lachen kishu miluvash im hatalit. When someone is wearing his talis, yesh lehasir haspadek ve'ashtraimo. What do you need to do? You need to take off your long coat and your shtraimo. Gam lo yelech az im kova harosh. Not even a hat. Shekorin yarmulka. You shouldn't wear even a yarmulka. There should be nothing separating between you and the talis. Shetachteahu hasafa min ha'or. Why? Because what's the problem? The yarmulke, the spodek, the shtraimo, all of those things, what are they? They are or with an ayin. What are they? They are leather. After Adam and Chava sin, what are they? They're no longer surrounded by or with an aleph with light. What are they surrounded by now? What's covering them? Or with an ayin. They're wearing skins. B'chdei shelo yimshach amolcho b'chinas kosnos or b'ayin kim or b'aleph. You don't want there to be a shtraimel, not a yarmulke, nothing on your head separating between you and the talis. Why? Because you don't want it to be or with an ayin. You want it to be or with an aleph. The only or you're allowed to have is rak or hatfilin. Och zin ala rosh ki b'torosso shel Rav Meir nimsa kosnos or ba'aleph. Kolomar shaya or ba'ayin l'or ba'aleph. Tfilin's a special situation because in the Torah of Rav Meir, you don't read it as an or with an ayin, but an or with an aleph. So this is something I found very interesting. Nothing in between you and the talis. This was, I guess, the minhag of the early Chernobyl Chassidim. that there would be nothing differentiating between them and their taluses, because the talus was the or, the light of God, that envelops you. Okay, that's source number two. Source number three, Bechinat Ayei. What is Bechinat Ayei? So you know we say in Kedusha, Ayei Mekom Kevodo. Ayei, where is the place of his honor? Right? But you could read it differently. Instead of reading Ayei as where, read Ayei as a noun. Ayei Mekom Kevodo. The place called Ayei, that is the dwelling place of his honor. So, says the Rebbe, Yesh Shechina Ila'a V'Shechina Tachta'a. There is an upper presence of God, and there is a lower presence of God. Shechina Tachta'a HaShochein B'Tachtonim. The lower presence of God dwells here amongst us in the Tachtonim. Ushchina ila hashochein ba'elyonim. And then there is a presence of God that is up in the heavens. Ubchinat shochein b'tachtonim. What is the aspect, or what? How do we understand what it means to dwell here in the tachtonim? Hainu hitgalut elohut shebechol ha'olomos hakol nikra shochein. The revelation of God here in this world, that is what it means to be Shochein Batachtonim. Lefi, Shiyesh Bezeh Bechira. Because what do you have here? You have choice. You have choice. The Shochein Ba'elyonim, what does it mean to dwell above? Hainu, Kal Vachomer Ein Sof. Meir b'chol ha'olamot u'bihitkalut hazeh ein shum b'chira. Up in the heavens, there's no choice. There's only God's will. It's a kal v'chomer. Here, the simple world, there's choice. But you go higher into the heavens, choice is an illusion. You realize choice is an illusion. There is only God's will. We all act only based on God's will. V'zeh nikra ayei. That's what the word ayei means. Ayei, the place called ayei, shesham ein shayach dveikus, ki dveikus ein shayach rak be'emtzaus shchinta tata. You don't talk about dveikus, about merging or having unity with the Holy One, because that exists only below. Dveikus means you have to transcend something sort of material in order to become dveik with God. But up above, there's no such thing. Shuiz galus yish besocho bechira. Aval bihiz galus shchina ila'a. But up above, when you're talking about it there, lo shayach dveikus. Dveikus means to stick, to cleave. So you can only stick or cleave when two things are separate. Right, when two things are separate, I can talk about one thing cleaving to the other. But the higher you go, the more you realize that things aren't separate, but what are they? One. So you don't have to talk about one thing sticking to one thing, because it's all one. So the higher you get, the more you oneness. What's bechira? What's choice? Choice means there's options. It's either X or Y. But up in the heavens, there's neither X nor Y. There's only one. And once there's only one, there's no cleaving, because cleaving is two. So he says, Rak lo shayach dveikus, rak echad mamish, everything is one. Fine. Now that I said that only below there's this notion of choice and separation and differentiation. There's this theme we've seen repeating in the Maggid. Haklal olem mitvareinu. What is it? What do we get from this? Ach v'rak be'im hiskalush shchina tata bipirus atzuma v'shokukus gadol azai nikra ha'iskalus hazo shchina ila. Sometimes you have a revelation that is so clear, so abundantly brilliant, that even here below you have the experience of Shechina Ila, that you have this experience of the upper presence of God. Mechamas Shaba ba lebchira b'tiul mitzius v'titbashet min olam. What do you lose when God reveals himself? Right? Let's say you're sitting there, you have a fork in the road. And you say, should I go left or should I go right? So all of a sudden, enters God into the picture. God appears, however God's going to appear. Burning bush. Okay? We'll keep it to this week's parsha. All of a sudden, what happens? And he says, Mister, you need to go right. Do you have a choice anymore? No. Your choice disappears. So the greater the revelation, the more you recognize that you don't have a choice. So sometimes the revelation is so great that you lose all notion of choice. And one thing you have to realize, everything in this world has the potential for aye. Everything in the world has the potential to be that type of revelation. That all of a sudden, this notion of reality disappears. The table's not a table, the chair's not a chair, it's all God. But it's impossible to reach this level. But you got to go through the lower level in order to reach the higher level. Then you reach the point where are you? You're in Aye. Umahus Aye, the very nature of Aye, who? Kikol ha Ha'olamos nikraim b'chinas makom. Aye mikom kevodo. Aye is his place. And now everything is called place. Lefi shekol ha'olam mikabel hitgalus me'olam shelamala mimenu v'nispatel etzlo. Because there's no such thing as different places. It's all one. The notion of duality disappears. There's no longer choice. There's no longer separation. There is only God. Lekach nikraim b'chinas makom. That's why you get to a place of makom. Aval kshemalachim ba'im lemadrega shorim shekol hu rak echad. But when the malachim, when the angels realize that everything is one, azai ein kam b'chinas makom klal, ki ani Hashem lo shinisi, lefanav yisbarach hakol shaveh. But then they realize that there's also no place, because there's only God. That's why they ask, where is this makom? Because the closer they come to God, the more they realize there's no makom. So what is it, if you can imagine, the entire world is kind of a spiritual pyramid. Then what happens? The higher and higher, the only way to get into the pyramid is through the bottom floor. And on the bottom floor, you have all these doorways that you could possibly enter, looking for the one that's going to be the staircase up to the next level. But what happens? The higher and higher you get, the more you realize that you're in one singular building. And the more and more you realize, the higher you get, the more you realize you're heading towards that point. And once you head to that point, there's no longer choices. You're only at the top of the spitz. You know, you're right there at the peak. And then all of a sudden your choices dissipate. He says that's what it means, Shechina Ila and Shechina Tata. Shechina Tata, the lower Shechina, you have a choice. You go left, you go right. But if you choose right, and that's the correct choice, then all of a sudden you took a step, a level up. All of a sudden you have less and less choices. Because why do you have less and less choices? Because you realize it's all one. That's when you get to Aye. And why do the malachim, why do the angels ask, Aye mekom kavodo? Because they're so high. They're so close, they wonder, how can there even be a place? There's no place, because God just is. All right. That's number three. Number four, he deals with the two parshios of Shema. Okay, so if you know, the two first parshios of Shema, We have Shema and Vahaya im Shamoa. So he says as follows. I'm going to start from the third word on the line. It says, Va'inyan hu dechziv, Va'yanuchehu began Eden. Adam HaRishon was placed in the Garden of Eden. Le'ovda u'lishomra. He was there to work the land and to protect the land. Le'ovda, what does it mean? That's mitzvos ase, that is the positive commandments. Lishomra, to protect it, those are mitzvos losa ase, those are the negative commandments. The ikar ha-mitzvos losa ase, what does it mean when you do negative commandments? Hu'azivas ha-chet. That means that you leave the sin, right? That's why you have losa ase, to stay away from the sin, mechamas avas habori baruchu, because you love the Holy One, blessed be He. V'shal yedei kach, and via that, yachol yuchal lavo l'bchinas lo'ovda b'ahava amitius. What happens when you leave the sin? You then go to the true love of God. Ach lo kol adam zochel kach. Not every person has such a privilege. He said some people want to love God. They want to leave their sins, but they can't get there. Ach machmas hiskalalus Yisrael, but because of the unity, the oneness, the grouping of all of Israel, yuchal lehitpashet mi das ahava b'chol echad ve'echad. So the love that one has can be mitpashet, can overflow, can expand to others. To harote lohova bore, ulakach kodem kol tefila. Therefore, umitzvos. Therefore, why? Since you want to be able to reach that level of love of God, so before any tefila, before any prayer or mitzvah, what do you need to do? Tzarich lekabel al atzmo mitzvas ase shel ve'ahavta l'recha kamocha. Before you do any mitzvah, and certainly before you pray, what should you say? Hareini mikabel alai mitzvas ve'ahavta l'recha kamocha. You need to accept upon yourself to love your neighbor like you love yourself. Ach be'iza ofen yavol lezeh. How are you going to get there? Shari zeh davar hamasur l'alev. What do you mean I have to love every other Jew? You can't make me love every other Jew. It's something that's in my heart. Either I do or I don't. Ma yaseim libo eino ohev chaveiro b'nafsho. What should I do if, you know, I don't like other people? Hayitzal lezeh, so I'll give you advice. Sheitbonein lezeh be'atzmo p'chitas ercho. You should think about what, how little you are worth. Dahainu shehu rachok me'avod me'avat habore. Think about how far you are from the love of God. V'shur tzarich l'kabel midas ahava yedei iskalalus Yisrael. I'm so far from God that the only way I can really experience the love of God is because I'm part of Israel. If I wasn't part of Israel, I wouldn't be able to experience anything. Velo sagi, belav hachi, and I wouldn't be able to be there without it. Umimela, the emtzaus, zeh yuchal lekabel bilibo, v'as kol Yisrael b'lev navehesh. You start thinking that the only reason I can even reach even a bissel of a shemetz, of a little bit of the love of God that's necessary for me to be close to God is because I'm part of Israel. If I wasn't part of Israel, I'd be nothing. So I would have no connection with God if it wasn't for everyone else around me. So how much do I owe them? He says, bam, I just got you to v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. You can't get to God without them. You better learn to love them. That's how you change your mind. V'ze prata tzarich lakol. This is what everyone needs. U'machmas ze yuchal gamkin lavo la'avas habore machmas shemitzvonein be'atzmo ma tzarich l'ze. Haynu ha'ikar ki rotzeh ani la'asig avas habore machmas hizkalut shiish b'chal ze nishmos ha'tzarikim ha'chayim ve'osam shekvar ayu. Right? This is what everybody needs. Everyone needs this in order to come to love of God. You have to recognize that you're not going to make it to love of God without love of your fellow Jew. Because it doesn't come. V'hine, and behold, the mitzvah ava ne'emar ula avda. When it comes to the love of God, what do we say? V'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha v'chol neshamecha v'chol me'odecha v'ayu ha'dibrim ha'yila asher anochi mitzvavcha hayom You need to work at it. You need to act. Kamo b'chol in yarnei olam hazeh. Yish ben mechinas avoda. Everything. Anything you want to do, you got to work. Kegon bezriyas ha'adama. If you want to grow something from the ground, what do you got to do? You got to work the land. Ha'ikar hu anukada hi hanachas ha'chetz ba'aretz. U'mizeh nitaveh b'hatuvo'ah. Ha'chita ba'aretz. What do you know? You need to put the grain of... into the ground, and so too, the tvua, the wheat will grow for him. But first, you got to plow, you got to dig, you got to do everything if you want it to grow. Like anything requires works. Anything in the material world, what do you need to do if you want it? You got to work. Right? If water, it's got to come from someplace. Where does it come from? From the work, from the effort that you put into it. If you wanna start trenching, right? You want water to go from a low place all the way and irrigate your whole field, what do you got to do? You got to dig. So too, when it comes to the positive commandment to serve God with all of your heart. What is service of the heart? Zo tfila. V'chein kol shar mitzvos nikra d'chinas tfila lashon hischabrus kamo mitzvah. What do you have to do when you do a mitzvah? A mitzvah, he says, is chibur. Not from the terminology tziva, commandment, but from tzavta, which is an Aramaic word, which means chibur, connection, forging connections. One source to another source. So too, when we say the words, right? Words are, what do? We take disparate letters, we put them together, we turn them into words, and that's what gives them power. Same thing, we take Jewish people, disparate Jewish people, we bring them together, and that makes them powerful. V'tarich lezeh avoda rabba. It requires an immense amount of work. Shelo ya'azov ha'makor. In order that you should not be separated from the source. Kimamara kasuv, like the pasuk tells us, ki osi azvu mekor mayim chayim, right? That the Navi criticizes the Jewish people. Yirmiyahu criticizes the Jewish people. They have left me the life-giving waters. Ukidi isa bazar kodesh, zakayin inun sidkaya, diadin uzarka even. La'atar di'exarted mitaran avanim nikraim ha'osios. The great tzaddikim, what do? They knew how to throw a stone that would ultimately roll and roll and roll and collect other stones. He says, and this is the letters. V'tzarich l'dabek machshavaso el ha'osios ba'ava rabba. And you need to tie your soul into these letters with immense love. Vishayisna kol hamachshavos zaros, and any non-tfilas thoughts that might enter your mind, you should hate them, because they're taking you away from the meaning of the words. Ulakach beparshat v'ahavta. Therefore, in the first chapter of Shema, which is the positive commandment section of Shema, the Haya is the negative commandment. Shehu kiyum mitzvas asei. What's there? Bechinat avoda. Mechmas avoda ahava gmura lo aya be'eshari lichtov sham shum schar afilu schar olam haba ki mekor shal avoda ba'ahava ayin lo ra'asa Elohim zulasecha v'lo aya yacholet pashei ba'olam hazeh she'in echta b'torah. He says, What don't you have in Ahava Rabba, in the first chapter of Shema? You have the positive commandment to love God, to serve God, to work. But what don't you have? You don't have reward and punishment. Where does reward and punishment come in? Only in the second paragraph of Shema. Why? That can only happen in the second paragraph of Shema. V'lo haya yecholit pashei pa'olam hazeh sheye nechta batarah ma she'inkein b'parshat v'haya im shamoa midaber mitzvah lo saseh b'chinas l'shomra ovdoda kana shimor ba'alma l'kach nechta v'sham tzchar. Where can you start talking about reward? When you have the negative commandments. Why? The negative commandments is where you separate from that which is negative and you connect to that which is positive. So amazingly enough, even though V'ahavta, the mitzvah saseh, the positive commandment part, might be the more powerful, it's a place you can only get by doing the negative first. Right? By negating that which is standing in your way, and uniting with what he calls the klalus of Yisrael in order to move forward. So what he does is create it's a little bit obscure, but what he does is creates the parallel. You have V'ahavta and V'haya, the two parts of Shema, paralleling la'avda u'lishomra. Avodah is what? Is the positive commandments. It's the work that you need to do. Shomra is the negative commandments. The negative commandments, though, are a necessary act that you need in order to experience truly the positive commandments of V'ahavta. And those are the two, that's the parallel that he's creating there. And he says, and ultimately, what we need to do is we need to understand our connections in order to bring us to channel our work properly towards God. And again, if we were to summarize what these statements in Rafursky brought us, so I think what it does is his point that he's making is the notions of unity, right? That's our goal. He brings in a lot of what we've seen in terms of Hasidus, what we called acosmicism, the notion that the world we're living in is a shadow of reality, and reality is really all singularity and oneness. And our goal in life is to find ways to achieve that oneness. You know, if we go back to the pyramid parable, is to go up higher levels and higher levels in the pyramid until we realize that it's all one.